You hear the bell, get your Bible, and come to be a student at the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're looking at Old Testament history, and we've come to a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of March the 2nd, 1924, about the revival under Samuel. And in our last class, we talked about how his mother, Hannah, brought Samuel to Eli the priest, and how he wore a linen ephod made after the pattern worn by the priest there at Shiloh. But then every year, his mother visited him and carried him a linen robe, which would be the garment worn under that ephod. Samuel was attentive to Eli, who was old and half blind. Thus, he was developed a true service and prepared for greater usefulness. Now, we're going to return to this story about Samuel, reviewing some of the things we've read, and going on to look at the text of this lesson when we get back in just a moment. Every time we meet, I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola, at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now with that, let's take our seats and begin our class session. This is actually class session 519 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. 1 Samuel 3 gives an account of Samuel's call, with which we should be familiar. For the first three times God spoke to Samuel, he thought it was Eli who had called him, and he readily responded, saying, "Here am I." By this, he meant that he was ready to do Eli's bidding. After called had God Samuel for the third time, Eli realized that it was God who was calling Samuel, and he told Samuel to lie down. And if the Lord should call him again to say, "Speak, Jehovah, for thy servant heareth." So when God called the fourth time, this time calling Samuel's name twice, Samuel made this answer. By this Samuel declared himself a servant of God and ready to do God's will. Abraham, Moses, and Isaiah each said, "Here am I." Saul of Tarsus in surrender said, "What shall I do, Lord?" It is useless and pretense to say, "Speak, Jehovah, for thy servant heareth," when one does not mean, as did Samuel, Abraham, Moses, Elijah, and Paul, to do just as God directs, and to really continue to serve him. To hear God is to implicitly obey him. This call of Samuel should not be so perverted as to lead children and even grown people to believe that in some secret, mysterious way or by a voice direct from heaven they're now called of God. God does not now speak in an audible voice from heaven to individuals. Paul states how people are called now. "Wherefore, he called you through our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. Those who will not hear the gospel would not hear were God to speak in an audible voice from heaven. Now we read about Samuel's growth. Samuel grew, and Jehovah was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. That is, God established him as a prophet. All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of Jehovah. God continued to reveal himself to Samuel at Shiloh. You know, we read in the Bible, in the book of Romans, that the wages of sin is death. And the fact stated in 1 Samuel chapters 4, 5, and 6 with the capture of the Ark of the Covenant by the Philistines, and the death of Eli's sons, and Eli's death, and the death of Phinehas' wife, and God's declaration that the strength of Eli's house should be cut off, that none in it should become old, or should die in the flower of their age, and every one that is left would be a beggar, all show that the way of the transgressor is hard, and that the wages of sin is death. Now the ark that was taken by the Philistines was returned by the Philistines. The Philistines had kept the ark 7 months. God visited upon them such severe plagues that they returned it with golden images of their tumors and of the mice which marred the land. It was received by the men of Beth-Shemesh, hence moved to Kirjath-Jearim, and placed in the house of Aminadab, whose son, Eleazar, was sanctified to keep it. The ark remained at Kirjath-Jearim until it was removed by David to Jerusalem. And we read about that event both in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and in 2 Chronicles chapter 13. It was during this time Samuel judged Israel, and during the reign of King Saul. The 20 years of the second verse of 1 Samuel chapter 7 were the 20 years from the time the ark was removed from Kirjath-Jearim until the events of this chapter. For 40 years had Israel been oppressed by the Philistines. We read in Judges chapter 13 and verse 1. And now we read about the conditions of their deliverance. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 7, 1 through 4, that the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched the ark of Jehovah and brought it into the house of Aminadab in the hill of the sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of Jehovah. And it came to pass from the day that the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after Jehovah. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto Jehovah with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart unto Jehovah, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away the Baalim and the Ashtaroth, and served Jehovah only. Returning to Elam's notes, we read the comments on that passage. All the house of Israel were burdened with their sins, and longed for the prosperity and religion of former days, and lamented after Jehovah. The marginal reading in the American Standard Version says they were drawn together after Jehovah. Samuel told the people upon what conditions God would deliver them out of the hand of the Philistines. They must put away their foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among them, and return unto God with all their heart. They must repent indeed. To give up their idols was to revolt really against the Philistines. Idolatry had its attractions, its wealth, its easy living, its licentious festivals, and its popularity. All of this must be given up. And Samuel said, you need to direct your hearts unto Jehovah. They must search their hearts and set them upon God and serve him only. It seems that Samuel preached this from place to place and taught and aroused the people before they assembled at Mizpah. They did repent and put away the Baalim and the Ashtaroth and served Jehovah only. We have learned that Baalim is plural and embraces the male gods, and Ashtaroth is also plural and embraces their goddesses. Today people must love God supremely and set their affections on things above and not on things of the earth. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we read, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ. God is ever ready to bless when people repent and put away their sins and return to Him. And then, in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 5, we read, Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you and unto Jehovah. The purpose for assembling all Israel are expressed in this verse and in the next one, that Samuel might pray for them, that they might worship God, and that Samuel might judge them. We read in James chapter 5 and verse 16, that the supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. Samuel was a man of prayer. When Israel did wrong, Samuel took it to God in prayer. At 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, When they said, Give us a king to judge us, Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 17, and then on through 23, I will call upon the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking for a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added to all our sins this evil in asking for a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following Jehovah, but serve Jehovah with all your heart, and turn ye not aside. For then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are vain. For Jehovah will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased Jehovah to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against Jehovah in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 10 through 11. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And thinking of Samuel as a man of prayer, we're reminded of Moses and Aaron in Psalm 99 in verse 6. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon Jehovah, and he answered them. And we read about him also in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15 and verse 1. Then said Jehovah unto me, Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people, and cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. So repeatedly we see, both in the book about Samuel, and in the Psalms and in the prophets, Samuel is referred to as a man of prayer. Now we read in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 6. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water and poured it out before Jehovah, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against Jehovah. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. When it says they drew water and poured it out before Jehovah, this seems to represent their penitence and the fact that their hearts were poured out like water. You might remember that Hannah had poured out her soul before Jehovah in 1 Samuel 1:15. David said, I am poured out like water in Psalm 22:14. Pour out your heart before him, he sang in Psalm 62 and verse 8. And we read in the book of Lamentations, Pour out thy heart like water before the face of Jehovah. And then they fasted to that day. We're going to bring this study to a close at this point, and we'll return to this in our next class. When you have the chance, make sure you come visit one of our Bible classes at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff.